how's it go to get some sleep when the patriarchy's chrome creeps? You suck each other off while perpetuating homophobia.
Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome to episode 28 of Achingly Polite, hosted by me, Clementine Yost. What's up? Make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at Achingly Polite, where you can peruse my art. All my figure drawings are consolidated on Instagram at My Artful Nudes. And you can also check out Francisco on Instagram. Yes, indeed, he does have his very own Instagram, thanks to you, Claudia. So at Francisco Yost 13, because he's that cool dude who has his birth year in his fucking Instagram handle. Yes, indeed, he was born in 2013. So I was on my WordPress stats page today and saw that in the past 6 months, Achingly Polite has had listeners all over the world. Truly so global. So I wanted to give a special shout out to the 12 listeners in Syria and the 3 of you in Cameroon. I love you all already. Y'all are great. Today's episode is going to go a bit differently than usual. I'll be starting with everyone's favorite segment, a reading from the Fuckboys on Bumble. As with many gross dudes, this entitled white man comes to us straight from, you guessed it, Instagram, where he slid into my DMs with this. So, gonna just get my phone. Got my phone, clicking it open. And now with a British accent, because when I did my stalk, he is British. So here we go.
Hello, dear. I am Derek. I checked you out now and would like to know you more, and probably be your sugar daddy. I'm willing to give you weekly allowance. Distance won't be a problem. I'm willing to travel to you. I hope to hear from you soon.
So, hard pass, Derek. Hard pass. And so, lovely listeners, today I'll be talking to you about sugar babies. What is a sugar baby? Are they sex workers? And what is a sugar daddy? Dare I say, sugar zaddy? According to Dear Wikipedia, a sugar baby is a person who is in a specific type of transactional relationship for the express purpose of achieving economic security. The sugar baby may receive cash, gifts, or other financial and material benefits in exchange for being in the relationship. The term sugar daddy is traced back to the 1920s, where it became a popular slang term for a man who spoils a younger woman financially. The practice is sometimes called sugaring, not to be confused with the hair removal process by the same name, where you just rub sugar on your hair till it falls out. The sugar baby's partner is referred to as the sugar daddy or sugar mama, and is typically older and wealthier than the baby. Sugar babying has been taking off in the US, Canada, and UK, Australia, and Colombia. Sugar babies can find their daddies on sites like My Sugar Daddy, Sugar Daddy with an IE, Seeking Arrangement, Sugar Daddy for Me, and Mutual Arrangements. Looking at the Seeking Arrangements website, theirs is a community of 10 million members, 8 million sugar babies, and 2 million sugar daddies and mamas spread across 139 countries. According to Terrence Ross, 2014 saw a huge spike in sugar babies nationwide, especially in southern states. According to data from Seeking Arrangement, where over 1.4 million students exist amongst their members, or 42% of all registrants. 1 million of those students are in the U.S., where, as you know, the cost of third-level education is exorbitant. Student loan debt averages at $28,400 per person. For Seeking Arrangement, membership for sugar daddies and sugar mommies is $70 a month, whereas it's free to sugar babies. And sugar babies who sign up with a .edu email are given free premium service access. So, the University of Texas at Austin, well, they have the most sugar baby students of all universities in the United States, with a 227% increase in growth in 2014. The next four universities are Arizona State, NYU, Kent State, and Georgia State. Terrence Ross quotes Angela Bermuda, a spokeswoman from Seeking Arrangement, who explains, Austin is actually the 10th sugar daddy capital in North America, scoring a 8.03 on an index titled, wait for it, Top Sugar Daddy Cities, LOL. What cities have the, and I'm not making this up, this is actually a quantity, you know, how like the density of concrete, you can also measure the density of daddies. So, sorry. Okay. Usually I would like press like the, if you're editing in Adobe Audition and you press the M key, it puts a marker and then you can go back and be like, oh, look at all the markers. That's all the times where I fucked up, and then you can just delete them. I'm not pressing a marker for this laugh or that little tidbit because density of daddies is fucking funny. And if y'all aren't laughing, then y'all have no sense of humor. So anyways, what cities have the highest density of daddies, aka the number of daddies per 1,000 males? Number one, Atlanta has 18 daddies per 1,000 males. Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, 14. Orlando, Florida, 13. San Francisco, California, 12. Las Vegas, Nevada, 11. Tampa, Florida, 11. Washington, D.C., 10. Boston, Massachusetts, 10. Seattle, Washington, 8. And Austin, 7. So the high density of daddies means that there are a lot of sugar babies in those areas. But what happens between, like what happens in the arrangement? Well, Wikipedia notes, quote, what happens after the initial date, whether much or nothing, involving sex or not, is between the parties. So taking it back 4 years, let's all rewind back to 2014. Barack Obama is president. I think the Obamas had just adopted Sunny, and which is their other dog. If you guys don't know the names of the Obama dogs, then you're not alive, or maybe you're under a rock. But anyways, 2014, it's a great year. You know, our president is a beautiful human being who's empathetic and kind and actually is respected worldwide, and who Angela Merkel doesn't have to explain tariffs to through her translator at the fucking summit. But it's fine. Anyways, 2014, NYU charges students $46,170 per year per student in tuition fees. 2014 also saw NYU cross the 1,000 sugar babies threshold to hit 1,057 total registered sugar babies amongst their student population. 2018 tuition at NYU, wait for it, is a whopping, disgusting $50,464. So I can only imagine that the number of sugar babies will increase. So far, I have just touched on why someone might become a sugar baby for financial reasons. Also, the article I cited above is by a white man, so maybe let's take it over to the women's, yes. Because it's important to note, there are many sugar babies for whom this is their preferred type of relationship. They don't need money necessarily, as they have another income, but this is what they prefer relationships to be like. They want to be taken care of in like an old-fashioned kind of way. Power to you. That's what feminism's all about, letting women make choices for themselves and doing whatever the fuck they want without being judged. So I've attached an article from Refinery29 by Jessica Chow, where she interviews a 24-year-old former sugar baby. She started sugar babying after a breakup with a guy who ostensibly made her pay for everything. She thought to herself, I'm gonna make the next man spoil me. So she Googled sugar daddies, found some sites, signed the heck up, and she knows that her naivete had her thinking that all the daddies would be like Brad Pitt or Anderson Cooper. So in my mind, when I read that, I thought she just said Bradley Cooper because I don't find Brad Pitt that attractive. I know, shock. Also, Anderson Cooper is gay, so he wouldn't be seeking a female sugar baby. Anyways, she was naive. She was like, all the daddies are going to be like zaddies, like youngs. But no, LOL, that is not how it works. She said she never actually set up actual arrangements with the men from Seeking Arrangement because she'd meet them and then they'd always be, you know, less into giving a monthly allowance and more into what is called pay for play, or giving money to have sex, but on a continuous basis. The sugar baby being interviewed, let's call her Lauren, says pay for play arrangements are the preferred option for many babies as it allows them to have multiple sugar daddies at once without the emotional part of having a sugar daddy. So basically, sex without having to perform emotional labor, which is the fucking dream. As I've gone on about so many times, women's with penises, women's with vaginas, anyone who is labeled a woman, doesn't matter what your junk looks like, women are just thought to be, you know, incapable of the casual sex. But I always argue that because women, like I said, if you're a woman, you're going to be, people are going to assume that like, oh, trans women, Woman, you're going to perform fuckloads of emotional labor for me. Great. Like, cis woman? Great. You're going to be the dumping ground for my, wait for it, emotional baggage. So it's like, no matter what kind of woman you are, you're just going to have to perform all this emotional labor. And for a lot of people, that's not a great price of admission to pay for, like, continuous sex with someone. So that's why I think casual sex is a great thing for womankind, because it frees the women's of the, you know, patriarchal societal duty of having to perform all this fucking emotional labor, because it's effort. So yeah, but back to the sugar babies. So basically, our baby Lauren says that she did not want a pay for play sort of situation. She wanted, quote, I wanted a sugar daddy who was like a boyfriend. So she met her first sugar daddy on sugardaddyforme.com. The dude was in his late 30s, he'd fly her to New York, and they had an arrangement for about 2 years. She'd see him twice a week, he'd transfer her money, but Lauren knows he didn't want to. She'd ask for money for things like her hair, her nails, her phone bill, etc., and he'd resist. Lauren had to remind him that they met on a sugar daddy website, and thus, quote, you're supposed to give me money. This caused their arrangement to become on again, off again, with Lauren having to remind him, okay, I'll see you again, but you know I'm gonna want money. He'd give her $500 every time they saw each other, which was twice a week. So that's $1,000 a week, $52,000 a year, and $104,000 total dollars from their 2 year arrangement. This is common behavior among younger sugar daddies, according to Lauren. It's as though they think, well, I'm rich and young, so it's me or these older dudes on the side. As though the sugar baby should feel lucky to have a younger daddy. Lauren notes, they're still 15 years older than me, married, with a family, and there's no future there. Really, I'm not benefiting from you taking me out on dates. Men my age could take me out too. Jessica asks if Lauren knew he was married from the start. Apparently he told her he was single with a daughter and on good terms with the mother. Lauren figured it out eventually when they only ever stayed at hotels and she never saw his house. But the reason it ended? He had so many other sugar babies that he couldn't afford to sugar them all. Lauren was the last in, and so she, ladies and gentlemen, was the first one out. Lauren notes, there are very few real sugar daddies who aren't married. The men who are paying you are paying for your discretion. Basically, they're having a midlife crisis where they want to date young girls and relive their college days. But taking it back to me, that dude, Derek, who slid into my DMs to proposition a sugar relationship with yours truly, I stalked his ass, and he's a father of two and potentially married. So there's that. Glad I could be the cyber version of a garish yellow Corvette to placate the woes of a midlife crisis. Lauren's advice? You just have to focus on the money aspect of it. For Lauren, the arguments and fights she'd have with her sugar daddies were just like the ones she had with boyfriends, except all the fights with sugar daddies were only ever about money. She explains, they get to a point where they feel like we're so deep in a relationship that they shouldn't have to give me money anymore. But Lauren feels the opposite. If you care about me, you'd want to take care of me. As is typical of the patriarchy, the sugar daddies wanted Lauren to be fully committed and in love with them, but didn't want the same for their own side. But what are the different levels of sugar babies? Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's sugar baby, spoiled girlfriend, and rinser. Spoiled girlfriend is basically a real relationship with an old dude who is your boyfriend. You meet each other's families, etc., and he gives you money. A rinser is a girl who gives men the expectation that they're gonna fuck, she gets the money, and then she ghosts. Lauren akins it to scamming, and while she'd never do it herself, she says it's quite popular. But what about escorts? Is that different? Lauren says it's different because there's a degree of emotional connection in sugar babying. Also, escorts have an hourly rate, but some escorts repeat clients, which blurs the line into sugar babying. Lauren says that since sugar babying is more public, that it's seen as a like higher level than escorting, but that's not the case. Quoting Lauren, we're all sex workers. There's no hierarchy. That's something I want to make clear. I feel like many people are in denial and not wanting to admit it to themselves, but it's like these men are literally paying to have sex with you, end quote. Interviewed by Business Insider, sugar baby Caitlin says, quote, I think of it more as a gift from someone you're dating rather than a sexual transaction, even though that's part of it, end quote. But spoiled girlfriend? That one really blurs the line between sex work and just being demanding. I guess it boils down to, would you fuck him if he never gave you money? If not, then hun, you're being paid to fuck, which is great. As I said last episode, sex work is work and sex workers should be treated with respect. But it just seems a bit unnecessary to me that there's this like, oh, it's not sex work, because it's still, sex work is still seen as like taboo and like gross and bad. So it's like, oh, sugar babying, I'm like not a sex worker. And it's like, well, you are, so own it. But back to Lauren, after she broke up with the young sugar daddy, remember the dude who had so many sugar babies he couldn't afford them all? Well, after him, Lauren was swiping around on old dudes on Tinder, and she matched a doctor who super liked her. After date 5, he asked her to be monogamous, and she, then and there, asked him for an allowance. She explained she wanted to be taken care of without having to ask for money all the time. He gave her $5,000 that month, and then $3,500 every month after that. Lauren achieved her goal of becoming a spoiled girlfriend. But the relationship ran into trouble when he resented her for the money, convinced she was only with him for the allowance. He ended up cheating on her. So, from what I've gathered, the sugar relationship can work as an actual relationship, but there might be some stumbling blocks, and so you guys are gonna have to work together. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Lauren's advice for sugar babies? Don't trust strangers. If a dude asks for private pics before you meet, he is not serious. If he tells you his real name or his job, then he is serious. But some people, they go above and beyond just getting advice, and they enroll in, I kid you not, Sugar Baby University. Sounds like Trump University. Anyways, Sugar Baby University, wherein seeking arrangement executives teach you how to be a good sugar baby. An anonymous sugar baby's Reddit AMA made clear that the most important thing is to ask for the money first. Lauren says that if you're a sugar baby, you gotta remember that you're not the one in control. As the baby, you have no say. It's basically a boiled down version of the patriarchy into one fucking actual relationship interaction, I guess. So you may be young and beautiful, but you'll also have to put up with a lot of shit to get what you want, which at the end of the day is money. So now, Lana West, a 25-year-old sex worker at the Bunny Ranch in Las Vegas, said she left her sugar baby lifestyle to become a legal sex worker because of safety concerns. Originally from Los Angeles, Lana claimed she, quote, barely even tried at being a sugar baby and made $28,000 in 5 months. However, many men wanted to meet at hotels, or simply put, it felt sketchy. So she moved to Las Vegas to work as a bunny while completing her MBA at a nearby university. She says most of her friends are supportive, but her dad no longer talks to her, and her mom and sister are very worried. But according to Lana, quote, it's 2018, and we need to stop judging sex workers. So there you have it, lovely listeners. Sugar babying is a form of sex work, and it can be anything from a way out of student debt, a side hustle of sorts, or even, in our gal Lauren's case, a preferred type of relationship. Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow on Instagram at achingly polite. I love you already. Bye.
Personally attacked when I recall that you're still intact as an institution built on racism and bigotry. How's a girl to get some sleep when the patriarchy's crawl creeps? You suck each other off while perpetuating homophobia.